There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Or you get the U.S. attorney to indict somebody. But that happened in New York, not in Chicago or Illinois.
We have a great attorney general out there, very aggressive.
Christian McQuarrie, editorial board member, par excellence, at Statehouse Chick on Twitter. And Jeff Carlin, at J.P. Carlin, the executive producer of the one and only Rokan Show. What's the formal title of that show?
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes.
That's it.
There you go.
And we love it. And it's a beautiful spring day. I hope you're having a wonderful time in your podcast meditations, wherever you may be, in your car, maybe perhaps gardening, although it's still too cold.
Yes.
To garden. What's going on, Kristen?
Well, there's a state government. There's a lot going on there. They're wrapping up their spring legislative session, so I'm busily covering all of the goings on there. City council is fighting over an Airbnb ordinance, and they're about to borrow $900 million again.
At what rate?
Oh, it'll probably be close between 8 and 10% because of the city's basic junk bond status.
So if you borrow $1 billion, you owe
$100
million. Right?
Yes. If it's a 30-year deal, yes. Just open your wallet, Chicago taxpayers, because in addition to the property tax hike that is coming on your second installment bills this year, the city just continues to borrow and ignore big, big problems with its finances.
And as that's going on, and though it's embargoed, this podcast won't come out until after the embargo, I hope. The city of Chicago is in possible, loss of its second or third city status.
Yes.
Right now it's going to be Houston will be the third city of the United States.
And have you been to Houston?
What is going on?
Come on.
You can't use that for the Anna and Rose show till after the embargo's off, Jeff Carlin.
Use what?
What we just said that you missed.
We didn't miss anything.
There you go.
What are you talking about?
But the idea that Chicago is dropping in population, people are going to Texas, and Houston is going to overtake us?
Yeah. Houston.
Let's hear. Anybody know Houston?
I have been there just a couple of times, and there's just nothing remarkable about the city, in my opinion. It's dirty. It's it doesn't have nearly the culture, the restaurants, the theater.
It's got Thelma's Barbecue.
That's true.
I don't even know what do they have that's so cool.
The Texans, I guess?
No. have lower income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, Texas doesn't have an income tax. So there you go. We're going to pay probably up to 5%.
Open carry.
They have open carry.
You can walk around with a beer?
They have the Lyndon B. Johnson baseball. Space Center.
You can walk around with a gun?
Yep.
On mm-hmm. your, like a hog leg strapped to your leg. Like that?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Or concealed?
Nope, open carry. I don't know which municipalities have banned it, but it has.
Actually, I like the open carry idea. That's a pretty civilized idea. Let's admit it.
I mean, if we
because
have...
Because you talk, then don't you talk like informal, stilted language, like as if you were in True Grit? Like, I would hesitate to offend thee, madam. You know, stuff like that,
you
right?
That's not bad.
Right?
Not bad for your...
For my métier?
Yeah, you're reminding me of the Dukes of Hazzard now.
Oh, let's go there.
Excellent.
That's me.
Here's a fun fact. In the 1970s, Detroit was the fifth largest city in the country. Number six, Houston. In the 80s, Detroit fell to six, and Houston took the fifth place. So we are becoming Detroit. It's official.
Mm. But that wasn't going to happen if Rahm was elected. That was the promise.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Detroit declined out of the top 10.
All right, so what do they have? They have no taxes.
They have a much better job creation rate. I mean, none of these are very sexy, but they are attracting more young people to tech jobs. I mean, the most dynamic and diverse food scene? No.
They do have the Texas Dragon turds. They do have those, and Jeff has had them at my house.
I have. They were delicious.
It's enough to go to Texas right there. Come on.
Okay.
All right,
what
no seafood.
I don't have
that?
To go there. I can get them here.
What is a Texas dragon turd?
Yes.
What we call them in the Tribune are Texas pepper treats, or John Cass's pepper treats, because our former managing editor, Jane Hurt, and my wife conspired to not let me say Texas dragon turds in the paper.
Oh, okay.
They called each other. No, stop him, stop him. So it's a jalapeno pepper stuffed with chorizo and cheese and dates. For a little sweetness against the salty, wrapped in bacon and smoked on the smoker.
Oh, Jeff? That yes. sounds delicious.
Very good.
Go to
Very
Texas,
good.
Have them.
All right.
What else do they got there? If I was going to do a column, because that's probably why I'm doing the podcast, is so you guys can come up with ideas for me. What is you do a 10 things, like the 10 things Texas has that we don't?
Well, you can try, but I mean, Chicago kicks Houston's butt. I'm sorry. It just does.
What about the Lucas Museum that we're not going to have?
You want to go there for your anniversary? You want to take the lovely lady to Houston?
Let's go now. Okay, Kristen promised Jeff that she would come up with ideas so that I might have another 30 years of blissful marriage with my lovely wife, Betty, who listens to every podcast.
Does she? Well, I don't want her to listen to this one because I'm giving you some tips.
Betty, I won't listen.
If it's going to be a surprise.
Close your ears. Okay, go on. Let's hear it.
So are you just looking at a long weekend over Memorial Day?
Yeah,
That's
I'm
when
thinking,
you're
or like maybe after, because you know how the paper is.
Right.
Spring, like, hey, I'm just going to, you know what I mean? They're like,
off.
Wait a minute, you know?
Well, so I've taken into account the fact that the TSA lines at the airports are extremely long. So I've chosen locations where you can drive. I thought you could like, pack up the car.
With little sandwiches in little
finger sandwiches.
Yes.
And sparkling water.
A picnic is part of my advice for you.
Let's
a picnic
hear.
On the lake. So have you been to Traverse City, Michigan? Has she?
Never that far.
Okay. It's like a 5-hour drive.
Right.
But you could stop at some wineries on the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Right.
Get the pie at the get Sherman's ice cream on the way up. Or
yes.
Back.
You can just kind of take your time getting there. There are lots of little places you could stop in Grand Rapids and see that downtown and have a nice bite to eat. And there's a place in Traverse City has a really cute downtown that would occupy you for a number of days. They also have an art museum. It's on the water, so you could surprise her with a little picnic on the beach, maybe some wine and cheese.
That's our first date.
Spread a blanket.
A
Was it?
One of our first
okay,
dates.
Okay, you have to do that then. And there's a place called Sugar Beach where they have little villas on the water, so you would have total privacy. You would have your own little kitchen. You know, you wouldn't have to mix with the hoi polloi if you didn't want to.
Is this one of these private, super private, romantic things?
No. I am not sending you to a place that has mirrors
like
on the ceiling.
Like the Sybaris.
Oh, my. No.
I was scared it would be like the Sybaris of the North. Like instead of, you know, hot tubs, it would be hot tub in like oaky or wood type wood panels.
My gosh. If you come back and that's what I sent you to, I will send you to San Francisco on a plane together.
Homeless.
My apology. No, right. I'm not sending you to a place like
so
that.
So what's this place called?
It's called Sugar Beach.
Uh-huh.
It's in Traverse City. You could also, depending if you get more time off, you could hop in the car and drive to Nashville. Now, that takes a couple of days, but you can stop in Southern Illinois.
It takes 2 days to drive to Nashville?
It takes, it does. I mean, it depends on how tolerant you are of sitting in the car. But you could stop at the Shawnee National Forest in Carbondale, take a little walk.
In Indiana, there are historic covered bridge tours you can take. You can drive
the bridges of Madison County.
You could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That would be romantic. And Nashville is just a really walkable, fun city. Great food.
Good chicken.
Lots of musicians on every corner. There is somebody playing an instrument that you can't believe that they're.
Do they have like also animals doing like dancing, like a guy playing a banjo with a chicken dancing?
I didn't
on
see
his head?
Any of that when I was there.
I gotta see that.
But there's a beautiful resort by the Grand Old Opry, so you could, or maybe go to the Johnny Cash Museum. You could do all kinds of things in Nashville.
A lot of Chicagoans flee to Nashville.
Yes. I mean, it'll be 10 degrees warmer.
Our buddy Brad Thor. Go see Brad. Hey.
Yeah. Drop in on his
hey, Brad.
McMansion.
Right.
And if you haven't been to Galena, that's a 4-hour drive, but it's, again, a city where you can kick around for a few days. There's a little Irish cottage there that has live music. The best Bloody Marys I've ever had at a little downtown place in Galena. And then my last suggestion would be, if you don't have a lot of time, Milwaukee, also on the lake, so you could do your little picnic. And I think it's called the Pfister Hotel, is this grand, old, beautiful hotel. I don't know if she likes baseball, but you could take in a Brewers game. So there
that
are my
is
suggestions.
So sweet. And it's like a normal trip. It's not, sorry, I want to go to Ireland. I want to go to Greece. I want to go to Palermo, you know, to the little Castellammare in their little village outside of Palermo, Castiglia.
Right. It's manageable, you know? And you'll be on your own time, and you don't have to dress up. You can just walk around.
I don't have to wear a jacket and tie to.
No, absolutely not. Now, I don't know if this is how Mrs. Cass would prefer her vacations, but.
On the gift front, though, John, I looked it up for you.
Gold?
According to Hallmark. No, it's not gold. It's for the 30th, right?
Yeah.
The traditional is pearl, but the modern is diamond.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You were hoping for
two
something
kids in college.
Expensive.
Okay, what do you mean? What the traditional is pearl, right?
Pearl, right.
And who doesn't need a string of pearls around their neck and little pearl earrings and a little Washington Bob haircut?
Sure, Jackie O.
And a very, or like Hillary used to be when she was more, you know, when she was more Tammy Wynette, like Mama PTA, rather than what Sinead O'Connor.
She's a little tougher than she. Yeah, I don't see her in film.
Speaking of Sinead O'Connor, did anybody know that she lived in Wilmette?
I did not.
I did not know that either.
With the Smashing Pumpkins, she's hanging out with them. What is this?
And R. Kelly, isn't he up there too?
Yeah.
What is this?
I did not know that. I wasn't surprised that she is having some sort of mental instability. I wasn't surprised by that at all, because if you know her or followed her career, she's always been kind of like that. But I was very surprised to find out that she lived in Wilmette.
It's like the Yazgur's Farm of 90s pop bands.
Is that what it is? I'm too young. I don't understand that reference.
Or Woodstock. Come on.
Oh, right.
Whatever.
Went over my head, too.
Sorry. Yeah, what's with her? Okay, listen to this. As you know, I'm not Catholic, but somehow I just drop people who, like, offend the Catholic Church.
Right.
Like, Sinead O'Connor said something on Saturday Night Live. Then Will Ferrell is in a Catholic church in a wedding. I mean, in a movie. Not Will Ferrell. Who's the other jerk? And it's like a guy going to the. He's the premise is I'm not Catholic. He's married to a Catholic girl. He goes to mass with her on Christmas and he pukes on the floor of the church.
Oh gosh!
What's that guy? What's his name?
Is that Ryan Reynolds?
Seth Rogen.
Oh yeah, that sounds like.
Screw you, Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
I can't
he's also
watch
a big
you
Bernie
anymore.
Supporter.
I don't care. I like Bernie.
The Night Before was the movie. Seth Rogen goes to Catholic mass where he vomits in the center aisle and yells, "We did not kill Jesus." I don't know if you've not seen that.
Thank you. I'm done with you, ma'am. It's not a joke to me. Serious business.
I know.
That took a turn real quick.
John's getting fired up over here.
All right, so I got a question now. Now I've got that settled. I have to buy some pearls or diamonds, right?
Pearls or diamonds. I mean,
pearls
it depends. I think you're probably getting better with the
pearls.
They
better start syndicating more of this column, then, instead of just one a week.
Someone needs to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Weber, come on. Pick up.
I think you should go with pearl, though, John, because it's traditional. I mean, I don't think John Cass is modern, you know.
Right.
So if we're going to.
He's like so stereotyping me now.
No.
Like old style white socks.
You just referenced Woodstock, okay?
Yeah, that's the
point. I know, right?
We're covered.
The farm on which Woodstock took place, which went over both of our heads.
Right.
So we're just going to go on a limb here and say traditional is your best bet.
All right. Okay.
If you go to any of these little places, you could buy a piece of jewelry with her while you're in Galena.
Okay. I do have to buy some jewelry. I don't wear jewelry, as you may know, not even in my nose or in my ears. But
you have a watch on.
I wear leather band watches, but they always snap.
Mm.
I have big wrists for some reason. I don't understand. I should have been a baseball player. But I got to get a wedding ring.
You don't have one?
It got cut off and we lost it.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and
that's right. I forgot.
And she wants me to get the wedding ring.
Yeah.
And I want to get the wedding. I want to wear my wedding. Is that weird?
Okay, so do you want to get the exact band? And do you remember where you bought it? Or yeah. She just wants any band.
No, she wants me to have the band, like the band that matches hers.
Right.
I think I'm going to go for. Is that crazy?
No, that would be.
But that's like for me. It's not like here's your.
No, I think
pearls.
Your spouse wants you to wear a wedding band when you're married. I kind of take mine on and off, but I actually had my engagement ring stolen.
Oh God,
and
Betty
it still,
too.
Like crushes me to this day.
Betty too.
Yeah.
How did yours get stolen?
I packed it in my luggage, which was just stupid, and now I know, but I didn't think. I just was too trusting, and. It was early in the flight. It was Fort Myers, actually, in Florida.
Really?
And we were flying back, and I just had this bat. I had this little wooden case that I kept it in. And as soon as we pulled up to our house, I just had a bad feeling. And sure enough, I went upstairs. My luggage had been rearranged.
Oh,
there was a little note in there saying, TSA has looked in your luggage, blah, blah, blah. And the little box was gone.
Oh, man.
It was very sad. But How did you
have the silent cry when you looked at your husband, or the loud cry?
The panic.
But did you have that? Like that? You know.
For those who couldn't see, John was
doing the silent
his
cry,
best, ugly silent cry.
I do. That's what I do. I do the silent cry, and then I leave the room. Or when at the moment in the end of a dream begins, when the soccer player says, "My dad who died, my dad saw me play, man." When he shouts that out, I have to leave the room. I do a silent cry, and I get out.
That's touching.
Only John Cass would cry at a soccer movie.
My dad saw me play, man.
Well, I get it. But,
get it? Come on, man.
I get it.
Old Yeller.
Yeah.
Call
yes,
a dream Yeller. Begins.
Yeah. I'm getting a little sniffly over him.
So did you get a new ring?
I didn't. You know, we had some insurance money, but we, of course, didn't have the ring insured. We just had it insured under. And I just felt like I was not worthy. And I still don't have one. You know, I lost it.
You and
it.
Betty.
I made the mistake of doing that. What happened to Betty's?
We were going on our honeymoon. We left all our jewelry. You know what I mean? You think, let's not get it stolen. We were living in Logan Square. And we took all our, like, all the wedding gifts. You know, like all the crystal and stuff that you get that people bring you. And we stacked it up in our apartment in Logan Square.
Near a window?
No. And my brothers were there, in you know, living in the house while we were gone. We were at a place called Virgin Gorda, which is the Fat Virgin in beautiful British Virgin Islands. And they went out one night.
Oh, no.
And they went out one night, and our whole thing, everything, was taken. The crystal, the jewelry, all the stuff that I don't give a two craps about, but Betty does. I'm like, I like to drink out of mugs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? These are the things. I'm like, what's Gorham crystal? Oh, now I know. We don't have it.
Right. Well, and somebody picked it out for you, and they spent time on a thoughtful gift.
I mean, these were, we had a wedding, like I told you, we had that big fat Greek wedding.
Yes.
There were like 400 people at
that. Right.
Yeah.
It was a lot of merchandise.
So it was there, and they cleaned us out. And man, my brothers were so down about this. I'm like, forget it. And then we tried to put the word out that, but there were on Milwaukee Avenue in those days, there were four or five pawn shops. So there's no way, you know what I mean? Boom,
yeah.
It was gone.
It was gone.
Jeez.
Bet she was crushed about that too.
Yeah.
I know it happened a while ago, 30 years. But
just yesterday.
Could you imagine? I mean, just the concept now. I'm envisioning like John Cass's crystal out there somewhere in the world, and someone's like drinking out, not knowing that it's John Cass.
Oh, yeah. Like
right.
it would be so, you know,
well, but
magical.
No, yeah,
like if
well.
I drink out of it, I'll get stupid like Cass is.
But I like to buy glassware at Goodwill.
Me too.
I sort of collect martini glasses, and they have.
Me too.
I'm beer steins.
Are you beer steins? And so, right, I could be drinking out of John Cass's wedding crystal, and I don't realize it.
I love those not that I ever go into one, but there's a nice little Chinese restaurant in LaGrange. I've seen Bruce there, you know, like walking by. It's funny, like, hey, man, what's up? And editor and publisher. And it's a little Chinese place, but next to it is around the corner is a retail, like one of those secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these little, like, cordial glasses,
yes,
things like that.
Exactly. They were much smaller in the 50s.
They had small
hands. I mean, I have to fill that glass up about 17 times.
Tiny hands for the limoncello. You don't want to get a tablespoon of cognac in there?
Right, or even
like
a little.
The champagne flutes. Like, I have the fancy, like, wide ones that were, like, my parents had. You know, they got as gifts when they got married. And you could get it, like, 2 ounces of champagne. Who drinks 2 ounces of champagne?
I don't know. Apparently, we are all a bunch of drunks because.
Actually,
I like my big, got my wide goblet
for the red
wine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the white, thinner from the white. Yeah.
You know what? I drink wine out of sometimes juice glasses. I don't care. Whatever I got.
Yeah.
Is that like too peasanty?
No, I do the same thing.
That's another thing you can get at Goodwill are the little tiny juice glasses. So you sort of feel like you're
ones.
In Italy because they're tiny, fit in your hand.
And you don't need. Why did people have tiny hands back then?
I just think maybe they were less.
Well, you've heard the old
Mario.
Story
of,
like the world is the universe is expanding. So if you went back in time, like George Washington, it was like 6'3" or whatever he was. But really, in reality, by today's standards, he's only like 5'11". And Napoleon was really, it was only 4'11". But
Napoleon was Greek, don't.
No.
Watch it.
Well, but I'm just.
I'm sorry. I know that people don't want to.
But much shorter. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. The glass doesn't expand. I don't know.
Or maybe they just drank like in Mad Men all day at work. So they just needed a tiny cordial.
Exactly. They didn't binge like us modern.
Right.
There was the day when I started in this business, we'd go to Jim Strong. You know Jim Strong?
No.
Jim Strong, great labor reporter, old-time Tribune guy. I'd go with these guys and we'd go to like Jane's, and you'd have like two or three, Steve Neal, you'd have like two or three martinis for lunch. He's like, okay, now time to write. I'm like, whoa, I could just get you a quote maybe.
That's where the Carnarvon wagon comes from, the Rose Friday specialty, and we do drinks by 5 o'clock. Jim Johnson used to tell a story that he would go, they go to City Hall, they would report, hang out, and then guys would go out to lunch, have three or four cocktails, and they'd go back to the office, and what were you doing? I was having Carnarvon with the guys, and I went out to the right, and that's where Carnarvon comes from.
Oh,
it's a slurring of cocktail, the word cocktail.
It is.
By newsmen.
Wow.
Probably Harry Golden.
Sure.
Eddie Schreiber, all these great legendary reporters. So, okay, the Carnarvon, can we break some news here on that Carnarvon wagon? Or whatever it's called. Do you really drink out of it?
What do you mean? I mean,
is it the theater of the mind? I want to know.
We always,
Or is there a real good martini with like a dirty martini?
I've seen it. It could use some updating. I don't know how long the bottles of vodka.
It's up. I mean, you can come back to the office now and it's on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. I've got a full spread. I mean, I could do anything for
you. What kind of olives do you have?
I've got blue cheese stuffed olives.
Okay, we're coming down.
We're coming
Friday.
Down.
When does it come out? 5?
5 o'clock.
I'll be there at 5:01.
Okay. I think this week is just beer, though.
Garlic.
I can make it cocktails if you'd like. But
garlic and habanero is good.
Sure. Stuffed in the blue cheese and olive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had I did one show
Martini.
Where I subbed for Anna, and we had a restaurateur come in.
Nice.
And I had we were drinking margaritas the last 2 hours of the show. It was awesome.
What a great.
Let's those creative juices. Mm-hmm. Let those creative juices flow.
Is that when you get in trouble? When you're like, I don't care what I'm saying. What about Hillary? I don't care. Baba Yaga on the legs, the chicken legs thing. That's when you get in trouble,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You can.
It happens.
I would ever compare her to Baba Yaga. I just said if I were
in
loaded.
Theory, if you were really, exactly.
If you had some scotch, you would have no qualms about that comparison.
Are there people that are scotch? Sometimes I like martinis. Sometimes I like scotch. Is that weird?
No.
I thought you had to be one or the other, like a fish or fowl thing.
No.
You can switch sides.
Beer?
Liquor suits the mood.
Doesn't it? And there's nothing like that first one.
Mm-hmm.
That first one about 5 o'clock when the kids are somewhere else. And you can actually talk to your wife, and you're just sitting there, and you pour that drink, and the day's over, and it's the afternoon, you're just by yourselves. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Little fantasy,
years.
Little mystery fantasy, theater of the mind. Well, Kristen, I can't thank you enough for your help on
the... Yes, I'm gonna...
You're gonna send me links so I can actually don't have to...
I will, and I'm counting on you to take her on vacation, because you never do. You're here all the time, you work too hard, and this is your 30th wedding anniversary.
I'm going to take some time. I am.
You know what?
Betty said, can we go? Do we have to go on the... I said, you know what? We could go during the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for one time in 30 years of working here, I'm going to tell the paper, you know what? I'm taking these days off.
Good for you.
Is that weird?
No.
Is that
you
so wimpy?
It. No.
I'm such a wimp.
But you're right. You
if
don't
I,
have
if
to...
I'm not there every day, I'll lose my job.
You've only been married for 30 years once.
Right.
That's right.
I'm going to take some time with her.
Have a nice romantic weekend. I'm glad I could help.
Kristen, thank you.
Okay. See you later. Bye. Bye.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary.
anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Fred, you remembered.
How could I ever forget the happiest day of my life?
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
That's the sound of ice in a coffee glass. My old broadcast partner, Jake Hartford, used to hate that. So I just did it in honor of
Jake. I was
Jake.
Telling my sinuses are acting up. If they start, it's going to be...
No, that's all right. That's all right. The guest on our show right now, on the podcast Chicago Way with Jeff Carlin and John Cass, is none other than Peter Bella, longtime Chicago cop, retired, author of the Cooking Cop blog and Interesting Chicago. We started... I guess knowing each other off Facebook, Peter, right?
Right, and then I'd run into you when I was doing photo jobs on Michigan Avenue and bump into you all the time.
And he is the first Facebook guest that we will start a tradition. Peter is the first one, and I want to talk about cooking. I want to talk about the all the blogs and the diner tour we never did, but we should do that. We got to do a tour of the diners of Chicago.
Before they all close, by the way.
Before all the Greeks go. You know, basically.
Rascally Greeks.
Rascally Greeks. And Peter also sent in to on Facebook, or did you send me an email?
Email
on this. He came up off the idea, if you remember, Jeff Carlin, you can introduce us. We had Steve Dale the other day, right?
We did. Steve Dale came by because he took umbrage with a Cass column about why cats, feral cats hunting rats is a bad idea, and that there's a better solution out there that involves small pets, or as you call them, apartment dogs.
Right, and we came up with the idea of rat hunting with dogs, so we could have bets and get people together. We could go out, drink, barbecue, have our dogs kill some rats, and have some fun as a community.
Absolutely.
Bloodlust, betting, community, love. Mm-hmm. What else is there in Chicago? I bet Houston can't do it.
No.
And then Peter Bella comes up with this. He creates the society. He's crafted the constitution of the rat hunting dogs, of course, written in French, Chicago Société de Chasse de Chien. That's very French, Peter.
Google Translator.
Tell me what this means.
The Chicago Society for Hunting Dogs.
It says the mission of the society is to assist the city of Chicago in rat eradication through the use of rat hunting dogs. To pursue the noble sport of ratting, foster camaraderie among members, demonstrate the canine's efficiency in rat eradication, the society will be formed in the Chicago way as a social club. That's nice. So we just have to be old-timers sitting outside drinking our little...
Bermuda shorts with the black socks up to the knees, white shoes.
Is this Ohio and Damon?
It's Ohio and Damon,
right?
Yeah.
This is it. So, Peter, tell me about this cooking... cop thing. You were a cop for so many years.
Right.
And now you're a writer and a photographer. Tell us about this.
Well, I've been doing photography since I was in college. And then I did almost 15 years forensics on the police department. We do a lot of photography.
Usually it's like an outline of a body.
Well, they're the
out.
Best. They don't move. You know, they don't argue with you. They don't care about looking good. Yeah. But the, I started doing, photojournalist work. I had some agencies. I did event photography, whatever I can get my hands on. And I've been cooking like since I was a kid. My parents, I learned it like you at the kitchen table.
Right.
And, you know, I'm one of them Edmicks.
Right. No measurements, handfuls.
No measure, handfuls.
Pinches,
yeah,
handfuls.
Yeah. Hoof does whatever.
Right.
So when I retired, cooking blogs weren't really that popular, and I started one, and it started getting a little traction. But I had some technical problems, and then life interfered. I had some other things I had to do. So I gave it up, and then I started it with Chicago Now again. And then since I kept the URL, I always paid for it. I thought, well, I'll just go out on my own, and which I did. And one of the reasons is because all these young people, and I don't just mean the moderns or millennials or whatever, people into their 40s don't cook.
Right.
And they have this concept they can't cook, and it's not hard, and it's, you know.
Okay, but if you go on my Facebook or Peter's or Jeff's when Peter posts, you can see Peter posting the most amazing things that you're cooking. And you don't think that's intimidating to kids when you say, oh, here I just whipped up, what did you just whip up? Duck confit or something. Or here I just whipped up some pancetta.
Or baked orzo.
That's easy. That's easy. It looks hard, but it's easy. What you're doing is the hard stuff. What about the diners? We got to do that, Jeff. What do you think of that? Wouldn't that be a good series or
absolutely.
Something?
Absolutely.
Me and Pete going to diners. Like, there used to be one. Like, okay, one of my favorites, Paragon on 95th Street, right by the hospital. It's gone.
The place down the street.
The Blue Angel. The Cambridge House.
Cambridge House.
Right here for 30 years.
I used to, when I worked midnights, we used to always go to the Blue Angel.
The Blue Angel on the northwest side. It was a Rigiotti family from our part of the Arcadia.
Pauline's, that's my favorite, up on Ravenswood and
that's
Belmar.
Another good place, if you can get in there on a certain days of the week.
Yeah.
You mean forget it if it's like a Saturday or Sunday.
Forget if it's Saturday or Sunday, yeah.
But I'm talking about like a 7 o'clock at night diner when you go there and you need like a cup of coffee that's not like 6 hours old and a patty melt, okay? Or something even nicer that you might find something.
You got to go to the Palace. You got to go to the White Palace.
Right. The White Palace, though, that's the killer to me. It's different than the Palace.
Oh, yeah, they're two different places.
The White Palace is like kind of like an Edward Hopper thing.
It is.
Right?
It is. But the guys that own the White Palace, they own the golden Apple and Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And they own it's the same family.
Right.
I forgot the name of the place on North.
Are they my people?
Hollywood. Oh, yeah. They got one of them got mad at me when he found out I was going to Greece several years ago. He said, what are you going to Greece for?
Stay here. Stay in Chicago. So we've lost a lot of the great diners, though.
Cheap food. We're losing cheap food. But it's if you go into the neighborhoods, there are people who are putting hole-in-the-wall joints with good food.
So what have you found recently that doesn't make the sort of fancy schmancy lists of, like, the great restaurants?
Falafel and Grill on Milwaukee Avenue.
You know, I'm talking normal food that isn't expensive. Cheap eats like
cheap
that.
That's cheap. You know, there's a place on a Middle Eastern place on Washington. Adams and Wabash.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's reasonable. I ate a plate there one day. It was like $10. It was enough for two people.
Right.
But you know, the Greeks are running away, like you said. The diner,
the old timers, they're gone. Their kids are doctors and lawyers. They don't want to, or you know, one journalist.
Somebody opened up a supposed diner in Logan Square,
like by Johnny's.
On Logan,
like
Logan
where Johnny's Grill used to be.
Oh, Logan in California, and a friend of mine went by and looked at the menu and said, "This isn't a diner. It's $13 for $12."
Is there a patty melt? No,
Is there
two eggs, bacon, and eggs?
This is upscale.
Croissant and stuff like that, right? Okay, so people reinvent. One thing about great towns like Chicago, even though we're losing the Houston, apparently, is that people reinvent things like the diner, too. They're coming back. The neighborhood gathering place might not be an old Greek named Speedo or John, right?
With the cigarette with the ash hanging
out. With the ash that makes the eggs taste better. It might be some guy like an Indian guy or a Mexican guy. Or Arab, some Moroccan, right? And then he creates, and people come in, the Americanias, we used to call them, or whatever we used to say.
Americans.
Right. And they would come in and say, oh, what is this? Calzone or something, right? Yeah. This is this weird. And you're like, what? This is what we grew up eating. But other people think it's new.
Yeah, but there are, you know, if you go where I live, walking distance. Actually, by the way, I drove by your guy's place and I did the sign of the cross, XL on Lawrence Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the guy from from the rotisserie.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, a short walking distance from me, there's all kinds of great little spots. When you go, when you start getting by Lawrence and Kimball, Lawrence and Kedzie over there.
Right.
Filipino food's been trying to edge in as the next phase thing. Or whatever.
Okay, what is it? Like pork, probably? Pork based?
They have a pork
roasted?
Base. They have a chicken rice dish. Chicken rice is supposed to be like real popular all over Asia. Everybody's got their own take on it. But for some reason, it hasn't really taken off here yet. It's real big in California.
Indian food. I go for, the two kinds, to me there's two kinds. I know it's a huge culture, guys, so maybe you can help me out. But I basically separate the vegetarian, throw it out, I'm not there, no offense. But I want that spicy vindaloo. Where's a good place for that?
Probably Devon Avenue.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Devon Avenue.
I love that vindaloo and that naan.
I love naan.
Oh, God, yeah.
There was used to be a place on Belmont. I forgot the name of it. I used to go there every now and then. And the waiter would think I'm nuts because I'm a bread guy. And
he's skinny, okay?
Three orders of naan, finish my dinner.
You got to have it.
You got to have it. It's great stuff.
Now, why don't we have that on the south side?
I don't know.
We have some restaurants that are pretty good that don't get recognized. Okay, Zaragoza,
I haven't been there yet. But
everyone talks about it now, but I remember Ricky Munoz taking me there and Danny Michalopoulos years ago going there with them. We've got some good Mexican places on Archer Avenue. We have Lutz's Bakery. We have things.
You have Lutz's?
Not Lutz's, Weber's Bakery.
Weber's, I remember.
You have Lutz's.
Yeah, but Weber's, though, because I grew up over that way. And
yeah,
I remember,
Midway. Yeah.
You don't go into, that's another place you don't go into on a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Oh, forget
You're
it.
You wait in line.
You have to get there at Weber Bakery. You have to get there at five, you know, an hour before.
When it's getting late and rainy out in New York City, hanging Louie off a few, and the groom got herself a cheeseburger at a little Jim diner off 6th Niner. Diner, my shiny, shiny love, in the night you're all I'm thinking of. Ba-bum. Diner, my shiny, shiny love.
I got to ask you now, we talked the food, but I have to ask you because you are a copper, okay? In your career as a police officer, tell me about this E.T. thing. Because we watched shows on TV, and it's all E.T. and evidence techs, and they figure out the crime from the evidence, and they know everything when they look at the body. Yeah, what's it really like?
It's very tedious work. It's nasty, dirty sometimes. You know, you're throwing fingerprint powder around. It's not pretty. And it's... You know, you send the stuff off. You're not solving any crime in 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, there's
not
no computer.
Not before the second commercial?
Not before the second commercial. It could take months.
And you don't have the guy, like a supervisor, making the big speech about how it all fits in the moral scheme of things?
No.
Oh, shit. Really?
No, we don't have the oracle that's sitting back, the little short oracle, midget oracle that's sitting back there, you know, coming
right,
up
right.
with their...
Right, right.
machinations. It's grunt work.
See a body and it's dead.
Or anything else. You know, the burglaries. Burglaries were the real big thing with us. The shootings. We did everything. You know, the soup to nuts.
Now, you've been retired how long?
9 years.
Okay. 9 years ago, it was bad.
Yeah.
People forget how bad it was in the 90s, right, Peter?
They really forget how bad
it was. It was 1,000 homicides, more.
Right.
And then... came Jeremiah Mirde, and then came more politics, and the whole idea of the police saying, that's your side of the viaduct, these are the taxpayers, you are on the other wrong side of the viaduct. If you come on this side of the viaduct, you might get tuned up. So they didn't come across the viaduct. I'm right. not talking race, I'm talking criminal.
It's the way Chicago's always been. If you were, you know,
these are black coppers, white coppers talking to white kids and black kids, whoever they are. This is not where you belong. And now all that's broken down. The gang structure has broken down. There used to be Jeff Ford, Larry Hoover, King Shorty Freeman.
Right.
Then King Shorty's grandson gets killed on Cabrini when you were working out there. Dan Charles Davis, he's killed, a little kid. Everything goes to hell. There's no more large construction of gangs, no more authority from prison. So what do we got in Chicago now?
First of all, there is some kind of a structure.
Yeah.
There has to be. For the older guys, you know, we just don't know who they are because nobody puts out that information.
The old timers and the guys who get the dope.
Somebody's making
from Mexico.
Look, somebody at the top is making the money.
Right.
All right.
Right. And it involves a banker.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
The banksters.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, when they started shutting down the public housing and they started scattering these people,
right.
It really caused a lot of chaos. And then you have all these young kids coming up, the wannabes. They don't know what they want to be. They don't know who they want to be with.
Right.
But all they seem to think is, if I go out and kill somebody, somebody's going to take notice.
Now there's, like, you can have GD factions on four different corners shooting each other. Gangster disciples. When before...
You never had that.
Never had that.
It was a lot tighter. You didn't
right.
do that.
Yeah, it was the disciples. These were the gangsters.
Well, yeah.
Stay away.
And, well, the other thing was they there were certain alliances, too, back then, because business was business.
So would you be a cop today?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Spotlight.
All right, without getting yourself indicted post-facto, what are you talking about?
Well, you're always on camera now. You have to be careful what you say. You know, people seem to forget. We're all human.
Right.
We all have the bad day. We're all going to say something stupid. We're all going to get mad.
I might write a column. You have a gun. Different deal.
Different deal.
Right?
Okay. I was having a discussion. You want to talk about Laquan McDonald and some of the other cases.
Right.
And I just tell everybody, look up the word complacency in the dictionary. And you can go back to Darrell Wilson and the thing in Ferguson or some of the other cases that have been. Look up the word complacency, and we're all guilty of it. We all forget what we're supposed to do. We all forget our training. We all forget something. It's just, you know, the police department, I don't care how much training, how many investigations, they recruit from the human race. Right. They're going to get all the foibles. You know, I've worked with guys who didn't have a racist bone in their body, and a couple years later, they turned into stone racist. I've worked with racists who would give the shirt off your back while they're working to some black
kid. Yeah.
Some black kid. So, I mean, it's we're all human, and everyone, journalists are guilty of it, you know.
Right.
And I was, every time I ever got in trouble, it was, I forgot. I didn't take that second to think, you know, and I got complacent, or I got overconfident in my abilities. Or what I can get away with.
Or rushed in.
Or rushed
in. But I see a thing now. I'm not advocating beatings, okay? I'm not. Because I remember the first time I ever got arrested myself. First time I ever got arrested, I shouted to every kid in the car, don't say anything till you talk to your law. Before I got the word you're out, the backhand, bang, some big Irish copper in Oak Lawn, bang, right in the face.
Yeah.
Okay? That's how it was. But
times were different.
Times were different. But I see this story now, young police officer is attacked, beaten, attacked by an inmate or some guy in the street. He goes and beats the crap out of him afterward, and now he's indicted.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't... I guess technically you shouldn't... It's illegal for a police officer to beat somebody.
Right.
But if the guy spits at you or beats you, if that's on video too, is there a mitigating factor? Or are you just supposed to take it?
There used to be.
Then here's the issue. Talking to some friends of mine, did a column last week about how maybe Rahm, we can't really blame him for everything. And guys were saying, gangbangers on the west side in 11, they're doing like donuts on the street in front. You saw that paragraph. Squad cars parked, gangbangers doing donuts in the street, screeching tires, basically announcing to the whole neighborhood what and getting away with it, nobody stopping them. What are they announcing as they do that?
It's their street.
But who are they telling that to?
Everybody
to the whole neighborhood,
the whole
right?
Neighborhood. But that's not unusual. They did it a lot more subtly years ago, you know, in the same way with the dope. You knew who controlled what, and, you know, if you wanted to sell dope, you knew you didn't cross a certain street. You know, if you went, it's just the way it was. But like
yeah,
you
don't
said,
don't be from 79th Street and end up in Little Village thinking you're going to sell it.
It's
not going to happen.
Don't be from North Lawndale and cross Cermak Road.
Okay.
And go south to Cermak Road.
Right.
You know, I've written about this too. You know, if you look at, and if you drive, okay, and how I found this out, I was coming home from Berwyn one day and traffic was messed up. Hey, I'll go down Roosevelt Road. So I go down Roosevelt Road, and when I cross underneath the viaduct where I used to work there, it was like I never left. I felt like I'm sitting in my squad car.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing changed in 30-something years. Same vacant lots, more of them. Same vacant buildings, more of them. Same professional corner hangers, just the fashion's changed.
Where the place where you get the rabbit and fix your cell phone?
Oh, good.
They store, right?
Yeah.
Step up off? Step up or step off, right?
Yeah. And then there was the only thing that was gone was Buddy Bear's, which was the only grocery store for miles around, owned by your people.
Mm. And it was, wasn't that the Italian guy where people used to shoot dice? I remember going with Bill Beavers to some place.
It was on the south side of Roosevelt Road.
No, then it was another place up a little farther north.
But anyway.
Mario's or something.
Now, and you go and you see all this. Now, it's cleaner than it was. The feral dogs, packs of feral dogs aren't running around like they used to.
Those are gone.
But cross Cermak Road and go into Little Village and walk down 26th Street. Now, tell me why 26th Street is a vibrant business quarter. It always has been, as long as I got there in 1978.
Right.
Okay? And then you go down parts of Cermak or go down 16th, which used to be a business quarter, go down Roosevelt Road. Why was that left to fester? And basically,
why do the Latinos...
Well, wasn't just
On Saturday, on that street, that reminds me of Saturdays in all Chicago streets when we were kids.
Well, exactly.
Because men worked 6 days a week. Or five or six, and like Sunday on 26th Street is a business day.
Oh,
it's
you
have your nice hat on, you're shined, your boots are shined.
Right.
You got the starched white shirt and the jeans, and you know, you got the ranchero music in the car, you know, family's all together, and you're going to go out to dinner, and you might buy something.
I was there. Right? I went to, there's a little joint over there called Trojas. Serves fried fish, chicken, shrimp.
Where is it?
4200 West on 26th Street. They've been there for like 50 years, whatever. We used to eat there all the time. So I went over there. I haven't eaten there since 1987 when I left and went to somewhere else. Anyways, and walked up and down, okay? Now, and it because even before the Hispanic politicians, there was the white aldermen there. They kept
Kristiniak and them, yeah.
Yeah, they kept that area together, okay?
Because it was a Polish area before.
It was Eastern European.
Yeah,
Polish,
Eastern
Czech.
Czech, yeah. Czech.
Alice's Moravia Club used to be there. Yeah, yeah. Jimmy
Crawford
Cherry.
Sausage Company.
They're
department.
Still there.
Right, yeah, there.
Yeah.
Get the Prasky.
Yeah, yeah. They kept it.
Right.
But when after the riots and whatever, they downzoned a lot of property. They never built up Roosevelt Road again. And when you look, and that's all part of Greater Lawndale, because that's the south end of Lawndale.
Right.
It's a vibrant neighborhood. I mean, you walk down the street, and any afternoon, you see people with shopping bags. So they're shopping, they're buying things. I don't know how many banks are on that street or little tiny branches now.
You mean the Latin neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it, they sit... They sit right next to politics. Whatever the politics is.
It's also the people. It's also the, I saw a kid on a homicide. It was a homicide story that never made a column. And he said, I can't talk now because I got to take a bus. I think we talked about this on Facebook. I got to get to work. I said, what time are you at work? He goes, 3 o'clock. I go, it's 11. Give me 5 minutes. He goes, man, I got to take, this is a black kid talking to me. I got to take 3 buses and a train to get to work, and I'm the last black man in my factory, okay?
Yeah.
And this kid, in other words, this kid's not, he could have been slinging. He's not. He's doing the right thing. He's working hard, and he's like, and it's amazing. I'm wondering how if Trump could ever, the Democrats don't want to talk about that, but there's a definite, what you're pointing to, politics that's not releasing people's potential.
Roosevelt.
There are people who want to work.
Roosevelt Road was always a corridor of commerce and industry,
and
going from Western all the way past Cicero, where Sunbeam is at,
right?
Because it ran along that railroad track. And I found out later on, it's, I don't know if it's an urban legend or true, but when they were going to build 290, Sears stepped in and brought it closer because they wanted to build it further north because trains were going out, trucking was coming in, and Sears was still there. Mm. And now it's a wasteland.
Right.
I mean,
and it will be.
And it will be. You know, you said it is. And
there's that's one of the ways I come to work in the morning. Sometimes my wife freaks out. Why are you driving through the West Side? I'm like, honey, I'm a fat white guy, old white guy at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm the safest guy in the whole city, you know?
Yeah.
But these people don't know what the heck, you know what I mean? What's with them? But I see it, and I see this one guy, and he looks like an old fighter named Alfonso Ratliff. And he's a big guy, big old man now, and he's got a rebar in his hand, like a big piece of rebar, grizzly beard, and he's throwing punches, like he's throwing double hooks and rights, and he's walking up with his big piece of iron rebar. Like, if he loses it, he could kill, like, 4 people with that thing. And it's that kind of guy that I know, I got a gut feeling it is the guy I used to watch as a fighter. That's the kind of thing that is left in that neighborhood.
That's it. Back in the late, 78, 79, when I first got there, Ernie Terrell.
Yeah, the fighter.
He would walk around. He had a boxing club around there somewhere and pull kids off the street.
Yeah.
I mean, I shook hands with him, and it was like shaking hands with a catcher's mitt.
He fought for the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. A great guy. I mean,
yeah.
Wonderful. He'd just drive around, walk around, and snatch some of these kids off the street. Come on, I'm taking them to my gym.
But there are no gyms like that now. And there are no, you can't have, it's too PC. If you have fighting sports, people won't support it in the parks. But you know what? That's what kids want.
Well, remember, I talked to
guys. Some kids who need that and want that.
Some of the policemen who were veteran policemen when I got in, they all came out of the old CYU
gyms.
Right. And when he had the boxing at Navy Pier all the time. Actually, the boxing ring was moved to our gym for a while.
Angel Guardian?
No, the boxing ring.
Oh, the police gym?
Yeah, it used to be at 35th and Normal when they shut down this place.
Okay, we've had Peter Bella, the cooking cop. Find him on, where do you find it?
TheCookingCop.com. Interesting Chicago on Chicago Now, and on my Facebook. And
he's the first Castle guest on Facebook from on the podcast. And Jeff Carlin, J.P. Carlin, who's on Facebook and at J.P. Carlin on Twitter.
Twitter, yep.
And me, you know me. And we'll talk again another week, see you around, and maybe I'll figure out about where to go on my 30th anniversary. See you later. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Kind of cool.
It was good. I want to do that.
I like that. I stole that other idea because right